Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
Make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure if I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course you didn't. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Internet. One of those covers of the video store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep. What in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
Do you see? Do you see? Do you see the event horizon?
Welcome to What Am I Watching in our holiday season edition, but that holiday being Halloween.
Yay, Halloween.
It's Halloween month over here. We got to start tinting everything a little more orange, I think, in the next series of episodes that I post for graphics and stuff. But here on What Am I Watching, we figured it would be good to start getting into the terrorizing territory. And when we were trying to think of movies, I remember being horrified by 1997's Event Horizon. Directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, credited as Paul Anderson. Never heard of Philip Eisner before, who wrote this, but starring a whole slew of people that we've come to know and love before and since, but most noteworthy Lawrence Fishburne. Oh my God, I can't talk. And Sam Neill. And then some of the other people, like Jason Isaacs, has become bigger since this movie.
Oh, he's become huge. I didn't realize that was him until I was really watching it again last night.
Wasn't he one of the Malfoys or some shit?
He is Daddy Malfoy, yes.
Acting like I don't know. Yes, I have ventured one installment into the Harry Potter world, and it was number 2, and that's it. I think that's as far as I'm ever going to go. But anyway, yes, before I saw him in that, I saw him in this. I'm actually really disappointed looking at the IMDb page here. It only has 6.7 stars, and it's got its popularity is trending downward. I guess it's aging out. I mean, I don't know. What'd you think? Did you feel like it held up at all, considering that it said in 2015 the first colony on the moon would have been established, and by 2032 we're mining on Mars?
Yeah, we're a little behind the times, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I had brought this up to you because, I mean, I couldn't find the show you had originally suggested for us to do for What Am I Watching?
Which I think we'll find a way to make happen at some point because Poltergeist is too good a movie to not do it anymore.
How do you not have the original out during Halloween month?
Have the remake, right? Which is shite. Yeah. I'm sorry, but fuck you.
But I recommended this because it was actually in an article, and I think it was on Blaster, talking about how this was one of the most underrated scary movies and that critics hated this.
I mean, I can see why.
And I'm like, I really have to see this again because it's been a while.
I saw it in the movies.
Really?
I definitely. And that's part of the day. I mean, I remember being horrified in the theater, and for the whole rest of the day, like, we saw it in the afternoon, and I was just, like, counting down the hours till the sun went down because I knew I was going to be fucked up for the rest of the night. Like, scared out of my mind. I did not sleep well the night that I saw Event Horizon. And, what's it called? I guess I'll wait till we get into it to tell you there is an actual, I have like a parallel, kind of like there was a moment that I really felt like, oh my God, I'm in the fucking movie all of a sudden. Like, because of the way, all right, well, I was driving. All right, fuck it. I'll tell you now. So that whole day, it was me, my best friend at the time, this kid, Chris, my little sister Laurel, and her best friend at the time, Jessica. I mean, she's still her best friend, but it was all at the time. And it was the summer, because I think this came out in, like, July. And we were like, oh, fuck, let's go see this movie. It's a, like I had seen one of the behind-the-scenes kind of things on HBO or Showtime about it, and it looked really cool. And I like Lawrence Fishburne, you know, and Sam Neill, because at that time Jurassic Park was still super popular because it had not too long ago blown us all away. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was driving. I had just gotten my license that year, and I didn't have a car for some reason, or maybe I was taking my mom's car because it was all of us driving around for the whole day. My mom had a minivan at the time. And we wound up like going to the movies. All of us thought it was good. All of us were scared of it, except for my buddy Chris. But I think secretly he was scared of stuff the way the rest of us were, and he just tried to be like that old school dumb meathead macho. You know, like, oh, nothing scares me, even though I'm actually shitting myself when I'm alone. And what wound up happening was, where my sister's best friend lived, she lived on our block, like two houses up from around the corner from us. You know what I mean? Like, basically, if I were to be making a circular journey of the day, it would start with me dropping Chris off at home first and then naturally taking my sister and her friend home as we got back towards my house. But for some reason, we were like getting food downtown and we were kind of in the middle of all of them. And my sister and her friend insisted on going home first. They were like, nope, nope, you got to drop us off right now. We want to go home right now. I can't remember what argument they used, but I was just like, fine, fuck it. But what this eventually leads to is I drive them home, I then drive Chris home, and then I'm driving home by myself. And with the way the street lights, because this was nighttime now, you know, like there's that always that like kind of like timing where like it gets bright and then it gets dark again. And then mm-hmm. as you approach another light, it gets bright and then it gets dark again. I was horrified to look in the rearview mirror. Because I thought the fucking chick with no eyes was going to be in the reflection. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is just like when he's crawling in that tunnel for the circuitry, and they all of a sudden the lights are going out and coming on and going out and coming on, and then when they go out and come on, she's right behind him. I was like, oh my fucking God, I can't believe they made me do this. I can't believe they made me drive by myself. This is bullshit. So I have a little bit of a personal traumatic childhood memory tied to this movie.
I remember really liking the fact that they had Latin in it, which is just so random.
Well, that, the tape, I mean, that thing is fucking horrifying, too. I remember that being a very scary moment, but they made that so, like, I don't know, I mean, it's very tropey the way they did in this movie, but the, when he's, like, translates, he's like, oh my God, that's Latin, and it says, save me, liberate me, and even Lawrence Fishburne repeats it like, liberate me? I was just like, what the fuck are you doing? Let the guy who speaks Latin speak Latin. Jesus. But it worked. I mean, I thought the movie was good. I liked the movie. We'll start there.
I still like the movie.
But you just didn't think it was
scary. I didn't think it was, like, horrifying. I thought it was really kind of suspenseful and creepy. But what's even creepier, I had to look to see if there was deleted scenes. And apparently, this was supposed to be an even longer movie. But oh, after they put it out for test audiences, because the, I think it was the studio was really pushing for it to go out, they realized there was a whole lot more gore in there, and the audience that they tested it on was really uncomfortable.
Squeamish. I bet you there's a lot more to that ship's log video that they eventually unscramble.
That was, and actually the what I was able to find, because they didn't have everything out. Because, of course, back, you know, not too long ago, really, they decided, hey, if we're cutting it out, we don't need it. And what I found was they had found some of this lost footage in a salt mine. I think it said in, like, Transylvania or something. I'm like, where? How does this end up in these weird places?
What?
I think we talked about that. Or, no, I talked about that on the Pod Doctors. Because, like, all of this lost footage ends up in the strangest place. Okay,
that's just more proof that the Illuminati is weird, old, rich people who are hiding in caves in remote parts of the world. Like, why else would Romania, Transylvania have that concept of vampires originating from there? It's these old fucking elites who've been living off the blood and life energy of all of us. And they're like, keep my movies in the salt mine so they don't age or degrade. And you're like, all right, cool. Cool. And then we'll be weird. Able to sell it 30 years from now.
So it's funny, though, what they had of it. It was a little more expanded of the, like...
What, the original crew of the Event no, Horizon went
the
through.
The hell like scene.
Yeah,
where Sam Neill was making Lawrence Fishburne. I can't even talk.
Oh, well, like... he's seeing all of his crew being tortured and like destroyed and shit, like in the chamber with the gateway drive.
Yes.
Yeah, that like, shit that was crazy.
A little slowed down and extended so you can see more of what was going on, and it was slowed down pictures of what happened to the original Event Horizon crew. Because some of it, I'm like, what? Is he sticking his hand down his, like, swallowing his arm? Yeah, I didn't know what the hell that was.
They were reaching down his throat and ripping out his, like,
he was pulling his tongue out.
He was doing that himself?
It didn't show who was doing it, but that's what that was.
Like, and there was people, like, it's like a blood orgies going on.
Yeah, because like, there was, like, sex happening here and there, and then one of the slowed down images was, like, a foursome. It was really kind of messed up.
See, that's funny.
I think there was knives involved.
I was going to slow it down while I was watching. Instead, I wound up watching the movie at 1.5 times speed just to get through it so that we could record because I have a busy day. And I remember that was I kind of, whenever I watch this movie, and I've watched it several times, I'm not going to act like it's this fucking thing that I own on DVD, but never fucking, it's like the Annabelle doll, I just keep it locked in a protected, blessed room, no one can go in there, but I've got it, it's part of the collection. Obviously, I watch the movie, and I enjoy it, and I have a lot of respect for it, and in watching it, other than just the sort of time scheme being a little skewed, I do feel like it pretty much holds up, but I remember distinctly having this concept where, like, they promote it like a horror movie, but it's very clearly a sci-fi movie at first. And it's so it kind of reminds you of Alien in that regard, you know, mm-hmm. where for the whole first act of the movie, it's really about spaceships and sci-fi and time displacement and, you know, gravity drives and, you know, all kinds of weird bullshit being explained. And then slowly it's becoming like Hellraiser. You know, this movie is 2001 meets Hellraiser is basically what it is.
And oh, man, Hellraiser scared the hell out of me
there
for
you,
real.
So there you go. I
watched it when I was 12.
Okay. Oh, okay. A lot of the Hollow Nine people watched movies they shouldn't have when they were very young, and it fucked us up, and that's why we do this. It's like if you've listened to any of these before, if you're keeping track at home, you know that I've watched some inappropriate films at very young ages, and God knows it's probably why. You know what is weird? I think it's why we have a better sense of, like, right and wrong and good and bad. You know, like, it's almost like we've got those morally entrenched tropes. So when we see this shit going on in real life, we're like, man, the world is fucked up. God damn. Like, because I kind of almost, when I watched this movie, I felt like, how much you want to bet this happened? You know what I mean? Some version of this happened, you know, where, like, they were exploring space and lost contact with a craft, and when it came back, everything was all fucking weird, and they can't explain it. Because, I don't know, I feel like I've gotten to this point where I'm like, where does an idea like this even come from if there aren't people really thinking along these lines? And if there are people out here, just creatives, thinking about it, how could there not be scientists thinking about it? And if scientists are thinking about it, you know they're trying it. Like, that's kind of what this whole movie is this dude who... I don't want to say he built this thing to try to find his wife, because it's clear that she killed herself because he was spending so much time away building it, but it definitely, when it traveled, it came back for him. You know what I mean? Right. Like, there's something weird about how that connection, and I feel like they were definitely setting this up to be at least sequelized, you know what I mean?
Well, it's funny, too, because that's one of the deleted scenes, was the when sequel. They get the information... Like, the head NASA guy, whatever, talks to Sam Neill. And he's like, well, you need to tell them what's going on, what's on the ship. And he's like, no, I have to go. And he's fighting very hard to go. And so that was actually a cut scene that we don't get to understand, like, why he's even on there.
He almost wasn't going to be allowed on the trip.
Right.
Oh, see that? See, yeah, what... I've been seeing a lot of articles lately that are like 15 deleted scenes that actually make the movie make sense, and you're just like, why the fuck do they pull some of this stuff out? Like we could.
I feel like that with a lot of them. There's like that little bit, like it doesn't seem to make sense when you see it out of order, but when they put it where it's supposed to be, it's like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes the movie totally different.
Yeah.
Instead of bitching, like, okay, I feel like I lost something. Why are we just jumping right to you know, fill in the blank.
And especially if you're going to wind up slowing down the parts that are crazy gory later to make them more palatable, that should buy you time to then use earlier to expand the stuff that should be expanded on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do like... This, to me, is one of those weird movies. I mean, underrated is a great word for it, because it does follow a lot of the old-school formulaic format, where it's like, okay, first 10 minutes, we literally go around a table and introduce all the characters and tell you who they are. Enough little details shown for you to get beyond their surface-level descriptions, like, you know, just from the one guy calling the other girl Mama Bear, that he's, like, the youngest guy on the fucking team, and he probably does look at her as, like, a mom away from home kind of thing. She's upset about not seeing her kids, so she probably does act like the mom of the team. Then there's, like, Cooper, who's just, like, the smooth guy who's friends with everybody, can get you what you need, but, like, they're such a tight-knit team, it's not like you're in prison getting them what they need. What the fuck?
Right.
The engineer guy who literally just wants to fucking fly and go home. Fly and go home. He's just... And you know, like, there were some of those things that, like, you know, when at the very beginning, like, Lawrence Fishburne says something to him, like, how are we doing? He goes, locked, cocked, and ready to rock. And I'm like, okay, that's the kind of shit we don't do anymore. Like, okay, nobody talks like this. Nobody talks like this. I don't know. Maybe a fucking space pilot would, but stuff like that. That is if there's anything that doesn't hold up, I feel like it's that stuff. I feel like everything else is pretty well made, and I really like Lawrence Fishburne in this.
I did too, and I was trying to figure out if this was before or after Jurassic Park, because you said about Sam Neill, but I mean, I'm looking at this going, after. I felt like this really, and I know it wasn't that close to when The Matrix was made, but I felt like it was Lawrence Fishburne, like, creating his character that will eventually be in
Morpheus,
The Matrix.
Well, it's 3 years after Jurassic Park, and I think 2 years before The Matrix, so it is right in the sweet spot in between them. Because, let's see, Jurassic Park, I believe, was 94, which I could just be making up, but that feels right. I know I wasn't driving at the time, so... And I did Jurassic Park, 1993. All right, so it's 4 years after Jurassic Park, and then The Matrix. This is how it works out there, folks. You do all your Googling live on the air. The Matrix was 99, so yeah, two years before The Matrix.
Yeah, it was, like, really right between. It's just because he has got this personality, and he just seems to absorb so much. And I know this sounds weird, because I'm just not putting my thoughts together really well today.
This is what happens when we record during daylight.
But he just seemed to be, like, and I know, acting, okay? Just so, like, that character, and then bringing everything he's done before, and then, again, when he gets into The Matrix, bringing everything he's done before into these characters. So I can see him being, like, really torn up about leaving somebody behind, because I know he was in some war movie not long before that.
I think, wasn't he in Platoon?
Yes, thank you. I'm like, it was a war. So it's like...
It was the war. Everybody that age... He was also in Apocalypse Now.
I have such a bad time remembering these things. But just, like, building on to, like, each character from before. Like, he had to leave a man behind, you know, or men died. Mm. And, like, building it and bringing it into this one, and how he's, like, really torn up about it. Because you can see that happening to somebody.
Yeah.
And, like, really, like, brings it out. Like, it doesn't matter that you're not a space captain, but if you are in any kind of situation where you have to leave a man behind and somebody on your watch dies, you know, you can see how that haunts you. And even if you never tell anybody, the fact that it comes out in this ship because it knows, like, your deepest, darkest fears.
Yeah.
Well, it's really got to mess you up.
That was, I mean, that's kind of, no, he was in, by the way, he was not in Platoon. He was in Apocalypse Now, which would probably have been more violent anyway, the parts that he was in. And then he was on an episode of MASH. And he was also in Nightmare on Elm Street 3. I feel like, though, maybe after this he was in some war shit, but, you know, I'm not going to do his whole IMDb for us right now. He was on the TV miniseries The Civil War. Has a lot of different people. But yeah, and then, like, things like where he's in Mystic River, you see some of this, like, as a detective, some of this attitude coming back. It's just the more that he was this intense, by the book, no bullshit, military, like, keeping everybody in line. It felt like a real boss you know, and also like a real, like, it felt real. He just felt real and like one of those people who could definitely compartmentalize the emotion away from what he needs to get done, but then has his one moment where he lets that out to, you know, at least to one other person, and not even because he wants to or because he needs to for like his own catharsis. He's more like, this is how I know what's going on around us is actually happening. Like Sam Neill, who's Dr. Weir, who's the one who built this spaceship called the Event Horizon, is always making excuses for what's going on. You know what I mean? Whenever they see something that's fucked up. So basically, the movie starts out as a sci-fi movie. This huge spaceship was built with this futuristic engine, this like new technology that would allow it to travel faster than light. The public was told that when it attempted to make its maiden voyage, it exploded and that the crew was lost. But that wasn't true. It just disappeared and they lost contact with it for 7 years. 7 years later, the beacon is intercepted by NASA and they're going to send a search and rescue team. But now this is also taking place in an alternate future or an alternate now, if we were being honest about it, because this is when in 2015 a colony was established on the moon, and 2032 commercial mining on Mars began, and this is all happening around Neptune. They tried to send the Event Horizon, which was the name of the ship, from the orbit of Neptune beyond the nearest next star, which I guess means the next galaxy over, which would be Alpha Centauri, according to this movie. I'm not speaking with any level of authority, guys, all right? If anyone's out there thinking they're getting a science lesson right now, you're in the wrong fucking place. This is all about movies. And so when the beacon gets, you know, intercepted, they send this team out. Now, this team isn't even told this until they're already, like, 2 hours away from the ship. Now, this is like a 56-day journey through space. It's definitely got that Aliens moment where they're putting everybody in, like, the chambers to go to sleep and then coming back out of the hypersleep, out of these chambers. And this one was cool, though. I like the fluid. I like the idea that they sleep in liquid. It's kind of like the abyss in that way.
Well, yeah, because he said that if they weren't in these chambers, that because of how fast they were going to be going, their skeletons would just liquefy.
Like, instantly.
Oh, that's a pleasant thought.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I've seen it in mice. It's like, oh, good. We keep testing on animals in the future. That's awesome. We can't just simulate that with a computer. Can't just figure that out with math. Okay, right. That's good.
We didn't pass algebra, okay?
They still have very big tube televisions, you know, like, I guess no one, but they did have tablets. I was surprised. This is, like, one thing I kind of look for when I'm watching these things now. I'm like, well, if they have tablets, it'd be the same as an iPad, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And touch screens and stuff, but they were still saving, like, the ship's log was saved to a CD, which clearly wouldn't be the case anymore.
But that was the big thing.
Back then,
yeah,
way back then, like, oh my god, the CD's stuck in the thing, I can't get it out, and that's how I'm gonna turn around and see a fucking dead body floating in space. It's all clawed up and ripped up. When they finally do board the Event Horizon and they're looking for any signs of life, the first thing they find is a floating corpse that looks like a Freddy Krueger victim. And I don't know, it's like, it stays sci-fi up until, I guess, this part. Then all of a sudden there's, like, blood on the walls and shit.
Okay, that was my thing. I'm like, you know, the one character goes into the bridge, and she's like, okay, I'm trying to find the log, yada, yada, blah, blah.
Peters.
Yet on these walls, there's, like, strings of blood and guts and almost spider webs full of body parts,
yeah,
and skulls, and nothing is mentioned. Not even a look, and like, ew, nothing.
And so that's where it has, like, I guess it has, like, a little bit of a horror movie trope happening, because there's, like, they're in low orbit around Neptune, and there's a storm outside on Neptune that when the lightning flashes, it flashes in through the windows. I mean, let's talk about the bridge of the Event Horizon for a minute, because that shit looks like a satanic church altar. You know what I mean? It's like there are pillars that look like fucking castle pillars in this room. The windows are just big crosses, kind of. You know, it's very, I didn't realize how much there was sort of like a perverse overt religion theme going on to this movie. So it's another one of the fun things about rewatching these things. You're just like, holy shit, man. They were just throwing stuff all over the place. But like whenever that lightning would flash, you would see the blood and guts like caked to the walls, like has been frozen there for 7 years. It's now like fused to the walls, and it's going to be there for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, and nobody mentions it.
Yeah.
Like, at least she should have been like, there's something.
There's actual gore on the walls, guys. There's gore on the walls in here.
Like, I mean, we have Lawrence Fishburne freak out when, like, a glove touches him.
But I remember in the theater, that was a big jump moment. I was like, oh, shit! Like, what the... And again, too, if this movie were coming out today, it would definitely be an IMAX 3D, because there was so much stuff floating around in that corridor when they first went on the ship. That it's just, like, ridiculous. And that room, the room... So, yeah, both the bridge and the room that has the gateway drive, they look like Gothic castle rooms, you know? They don't look like rooms that would be on a spaceship, so...
Right. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, it's just like the movie has this sort of cross-genre thing going on, and I think that could, you know, that could partially be why maybe people didn't like it so much back in the day, but I think that's one of the reasons it really resonated with me, is because it's a very successful marriage between two genres that don't always work so well together. Because it's true sci-fi, but it's also true horror, too. Cause it's,
well, it's like, so funny, because that moment when he's walking, Baby Bear's walking back to engineering, where the drive is, and he's like, what the hell is this room?
Yeah, he's like, it's like a Hellraiser set. Like, holy!
It just reminded me of, crap, it was Sigourney Weaver and Tim Allen. They're like little...
Oh, Galaxy Quest.
Yes, they
did
that one.
You mean the show movie we did a podcast about? Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I couldn't think of the name. When, you know, she's like, who designs this stuff? Because, like, they go through the stompers. It's the same thing. And he goes, no, it looks like a meat grinder. And then when he...
Oh, that's the tunnel, the hallway. Yeah. There's like a secondary hallway that leads into. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Forgot to mention that, because they talked about building that for the behind the scenes that I watched back in the day.
So, yeah, going through that, which, yeah, it looks like a meat grinder, and then going into the room with the drive where there's, like, giant spikes everywhere.
Yeah, coming out of the walls facing into the room. You're just like,
what
this?
What the hell?
This is someplace, like, this is like a cage match room for, like, comic book characters to fight in, because there's spikes everywhere and a giant rotating ball around with these three rings rotating around it. I remember, like, that room... When you see the shots of it, you just kind of feel uncomfortable. You're kind of like, ugh, the fuck is this? It almost like in Armageddon when the guy's like, when they're all being, you know, having psychological evaluations to see if they've... And he's like, I can handle what I'm about to go do. I can't handle this room is what I can't handle. It's like, that is exactly how that room feels. You're just like, what? How? How did they even build this? Did anybody approve these plans? Like, what the fucking fuck is going on here?
Right, and because later, even, apparently, there's open space above all this crap.
Yeah, well, I mean, I figure if this thing's... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, because one of our cast members dies, because she falls down and falls on a spike. Well, maybe. We
first,
don't have spiky things around.
First, she hits a spike on her way down. Well, she's in like a little, it's like almost like an access tunnel, I guess, because she bounces off some stuff off those walls, then hits a spike, and when she lands on part of the bridge. And partially in the water, because you see one of her legs get fucking, like, go from being a solid leg to, like, all broken and dangly. And she's just royally fucked. It's like, ugh. But there are also panels that they can open and crawl into. And all of the whole area behind the walls of this room is, like, a tunnel work of these, like, green circuit boards and all kinds of shit. Like, just... trying to fathom building that from scratch. You know what I mean? Like, where would you even do this? How is this even possible?
It's like a giant computer in there, but it's a maze. And again, I had like a Shining moment, like running through the hedge maze. Because it's like, how are you going to remember where the hell you're going
exactly.
in this
thing? Exactly. Holy. And then he's even calling back for help when it starts to go dark. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? You didn't tie a rope around yourself or anything, you dumb fuck. Like, seriously, you guys are smart enough to build some shit like this, and then it's the Prometheus argument, man. It's kind of like, you guys are smart enough to get here, and then this is how you fucking behave? Oh my god. Oh my god. We could have done this in Compton. Straight Outta Compton will be an episode soon, guys. I'm just like, I'm like in love with that movie. Random episode to drop that reference in, but seriously.
Right? Not exactly a horror flick, but, you know, let's keep going here. It was just so strange. Like, the building, it's like they wanted to do so much and really freak you out with all of this. And I'm thinking, where is it all going? Because the way they had the ship, you had the forward section, and then you had, like, a really long bridge, like, actual bridge hallway.
Yeah, they called it the corridor. They called it the corridor.
And then you have the engineering section.
If you can think of it for reference, and if you Google even a poster of the movie, I kind of feel like, how could you not look at this and instantly see the Vulcan Bird of Prey from classic Star Trek? And so, if you think of the front, like, the head of the Bird of Prey would be the forward crew compartments. I'm sorry, not Vulcan, fucking Klingon. Jesus, wow. Wow, guys, that's like a super sin for the Star Trekkies out there. I apologize. But yes, the Klingon Bird of Prey. So, like, the head would be the forward compartment where the bridge and all the crew areas are. And then the body, like, when you go down the neck would be the corridor. And then the body is where the... Basically, it just seems like the whole thing of that big body is to make sure that that gravity drive works, the gateway drive.
Yes.
And Ari... this is what I've been trying to remember this whole time since we recorded. I'm like, since we started recording, like, in the back of my mind, it's like, you wanted to tell Sean something. There was something that you wanted to tell her about, and it's because of something she texted earlier. What the fuck was it? What was the connection? Dune. This is how they explain the Spicing Guild being able to move the Highline carrier ships, being the folding, like, of space. Yeah. So we have all these... all these older films to reference to explain how this movie's working, you know? So imagine the gravity drive is like the harness power of the spicy, of the, you know, what are they called? What the hell was the guild's name? Fuck. Aren't they called the Spicing Guild? Or
yes, they are. I thought they were.
Yeah, and they are the ones who can fold space, and they're the reason that there's interstellar travel in Dune. Well, they were basically trying to do that without having to be bribing these drug-addicted aliens in this movie. They don't want to have to keep somebody's coke habit going to travel through space. They were trying to... and that's what Sam Neill designed, was the gravity drive. That literally, the way he explains it is, it takes time and space and treats it like a sheet of paper... and you find the two points that you want to go to, and it folds and makes it so that they both exist in the same point in space and time. And then the ship flies through that, and then it goes back to normal. Well, as every single one of these movies, except for Dune. Dune, they do it. Dune, it works. Everywhere else, this shit never works. And this is no exception. So, yeah, I don't even know where to jump to next, because I feel like it's like... I guess, what's his name, when Justin goes into the black, when the gateway drive opens and it pulls him in. I was like, dude, why are you sticking your fucking hand in there?
Thank you.
Why do people do this shit? Like, stick a camera in there, you dumb fucks. It's fine. You don't stick your arm. Like, so fucking stupid.
There was moments where I was yelling because it just reminded me of some of these other shows that I'm watching recently. And I'm like, why? Why are you doing that? Why would you even think that's a good idea?
We're better than this.
Huh, I don't know what this is. Let me stick my hand in.
What else do you stick in places you don't know what they are? Come on, guys.
But I'm like, you don't even know what happened. The crew's been gone. The ship is gone.
We had your captain referred to
screaming.
It a moment ago. The captain referred to it as a tomb. You know what I mean? And yeah, they did at least have the recording, right? They listened to that before they went on to. And it's just like, even if you barely understand that there's words in there, it doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound like Six Flags or roller coasters and people having a good time. It sounds scary. It sounds bad.
Sounds like murder happening and slashing. Maybe don't go into the weird dark place.
And it sounded like engines breaking down and stuff. Like, it just sounded all kinds of insanity. And, like, we just see, when we eventually see the video that accompanies that recording, which, holy fuck, that was the point in the theater where I knew I am damaged right now. As of right this second, this is another Pulp Fiction happening here. This is, holy shit, they're raping a dude. Holy fuck, that guy's ripping. I mean, I could see that he was sticking his arm down his throat, but I thought it was somebody else reaching down his throat and just ripping out, like, all of his, like, esophagus and shit, just like...
Yeah, it's in the slow-mo. You see that it's like the tongue comes out. I'm like, what? Because I'm thinking, how did somebody stick their hand in his mouth?
Yeah, and how did he not? Oh, my God. Well, also, we have this whole point in time, too. Like, once Justin comes back... So, like, basically, what the drive does is opens a black hole. And I noticed that, like, when they ask Dr. Weir what's in the core, he doesn't answer. And that's, I guess, the big question I have as I'm watching this movie for the upteenth time is like, all right, what is that giant steel ball made of? Like, is that dark matter that felt Earth? You know, like, what? We don't know what's in the middle. It's like this giant ball with a bunch of spikes on it sticking out, and it's behind the three rings. But once those three rings line up, that ball flashes bright white and then opens up like a black liquid kind of... black hole, and we saw Justin get pulled in, and then they get him out, but when he came out, like, a blast wave came out with it. That's a bunch of gravitons apparently being shot out. That's how black holes work, apparently, I guess. And destroys their ship to a degree where they're, like, not sure if they're gonna be able to fly it. It's all damaged up, and they're gonna have to repair it, but now everybody's hanging out on the event horizon, and that's where it starts to become almost like kind of Nightmare on Elm Street to a degree, too, because it's like it knows what they're thinking and it knows what they're afraid of.
And they split up. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, hey, this thing knows our fears and secrets. All right, let's all go be alone so it can take us out one by one.
I swear to God, that's every horror movie. It's like, no, you don't separate. You know what? Scooby-Doo this shit and at least have two people together, okay?
Yeah, always. Buddy system. Buddy system. So that when one person starts freaking out, the person next to him will be like, there's nothing there, man! There's nothing there! And then that person starts seeing something different, and the first person's like, what are you talking about? That's not what's attacking us! This is what's attacking us! And then you go like, oh, we don't agree on reality! Therefore, none of this could be real, right? Alright, cool, let's philosophy our way through the rest of this movie. No,
and yet you have the moment where there are several of them on the bridge, and because the one comes running and she slams a door with all the banging.
Yeah.
And then you have Dr. Weir is like, oh, let it in. Like, what the hell?
Now, I guess I didn't think about this ever before watching it this time either. He goes to almost open the door, and Lieutenant Stark, who is the blonde, I guess, second in command, played by Jolie Richardson, does like almost like a kung fu arm hold on him and stops him. And then all of a sudden they get this alarm that there's somebody in the airlock, and it's Justin, who had been kind of in like a coma since he came back through the black hole. And now he's basically about to commit suicide by airlocking himself. And, I almost thought, because he was trying to open the door, like Weir is trying to open the door to the bridge to let in whatever they're trying to keep out. And now they're trying to get Justin to open the door to keep him in. It's almost like the ship, because the ship is, at this point we could say, is kind of alive. It's kind of, you know, haunted and alive, and it's possessing their minds and doing shit to them. It's almost like, well, hey, you didn't want to open my door, I'm not opening your door. And this kid, I don't know why they try to even save him after this. It's like, you know how fucked up his body is right now. He gets airlocked with no suit on, but unlike in Battlestar Galactica, where they instantly just freeze solid, I guess they were in low enough orbit that he was able to stay human for a little while, and Lawrence Fishburne, who was outside helping them fix the other ship, like, dives and catches him and pushes him right back into the airlock. But it's, you know, it's long enough that there's blood coming out of everywhere that it can, and even, yes, like, through his skin and shit. Oh, man. Fuck, this movie's crazy.
It was pretty messed up.
I remember, like, when it had come out, the girl I was going out with at the time, we used to hang out with a lot of her friends on the weekends, and somebody had mentioned it. It was a big group of people that I'd never met before. And someone was like, has anyone seen this Event Horizon? I'm like, yeah, dude, go see that shit. This is like Hellraiser in space. It's pretty fucking crazy. And they were like, really? I'm like, yeah, man. They make it look like a sci-fi movie on that commercial, but the thing went to hell, so it brings some stuff back with it.
It really does, like, kind of turn into Hellraiser, because some of the deleted scenes, because I don't remember.
God,
like,
damn it. I've got the DVD. I'm sure the deleted scenes are on it, and I've never watched them. I don't remember them like the way you're what you're describing. I got to check.
Like I said, I just watched those last night. I was online looking for it. But it was when they're trying to set up the beds to at least survive until a rescue party gets there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Stark and what's his name? Cooper. And they're running because all this weird crap starts happening and blood and...
Yeah, the ship literally starts bleeding.
Yeah, that's usually not good.
Dripping blood out of the walls and light sockets.
Very Amityville horror there.
Yep, yeah.
And they... crap, I can't talk. The one falls down the ladder. Well, they get up and run. And in the deleted scene, you have Weir coming down, like crawling down the ladder.
Oh my God, really?
And he's all crazy looking already, like, and very Exorcist? Hellraiser-ish. Yeah. Yes. He like crawls down. Because we don't see that in the movie. They cut that moment.
Yeah, no, it goes right back to a lot. See, so the whole design of the ship is so that if anything ever happened, the whole corridor is lined with explosives, and they would blow the corridor up, and the forward part of the ship would be a life raft waiting for rescue. So they're deciding that that's their only way out. At this point, Weir has blown up, you know, like, a lot of stuff happens. Everybody starts getting picked off one by one. There's various death scenes that are of elaborate dismay to watch. Ultimately, when it really finally goes off the rails and it becomes Weir versus everybody else is when they get the video log unscrambled. And I love how basically they never explain it. They always say, like, oh, I'll just try and run it through a few filters and see if I could clean it up. I'm like, guys... That's, no. What you just had, there is no fucking filter, unless it's the future, and you guys just have these awesome filters that your mind can say, just make this part louder. That shit would be impossible. But anyway,
they slowed it down.
They do it with the audio first, and then with the video, and it's like, once they throw the video through enough filters, and they see the blood orgy, then it's like, alright, we're out of here. And that's when Weir suddenly is just like, you can't leave. And then he goes, the ship won't let you. So now it's like he's the ship's personification, right? Like, it's right. Like the evil of the ship is basically interacting with our people through Weir for the rest of the movie. And it's full on, like, he's trying to shoot them with a bolt gun. And he winds up getting sucked out into orbit. And we think he's dead. And he's really not, because the ship brings him back. But now he's all, like, pieced back together, it looks like. Like yeah, as if he got shredded.
Yes, like he had like the barbed wire all around him or something.
Yeah, it's
and his eyes are back though.
Yeah, and he's all like beating the crap out of people and like.
Yeah, how do you get super strong by tearing his eyes out?
He's what's his name? He's fucking Pinhead from Hellraiser, practically. Yeah. Like what he does to Jason Isaacs is horrible.
Oh my God! And in such a quick moment.
Yeah. I was glad though because it was really brutal. Like I'm sure there's like an extended version of that scene. He throws him across the room a couple times to where he's like knocked out, and then he throws him onto an operating table, rips his shirt open, and you see he has a scar from having had open heart surgery before, which just means that his sternum has been cracked before, which means that it'll open up again. And he slices him right down the middle and then like strings him up so that he's like a puppet hanging from the ceiling, and all of his shit just fell right out of his fucking body.
It was really messed up.
It's just, oh, God.
Which makes me wonder if that may have been one of the scenes that was, like, extended and they cut it.
I'm, like, getting so fucking nauseous. Oh, God. So crazy. So crazy. And that's the thing. When you, like, watch this movie, to think that not many people saw it or that it was, like, not a lot of people liked it, you're just like, what the fuck do you want, man? This is almost like a thinking person's horror movie. You know what I mean? It's like, eesh, shit.
I honestly think that a lot of it was because how quickly it escalated and how much it seemed to miss. Like, we didn't get some of the people's, like, what they're afraid of.
Yeah, we never saw Smitty. Like, he's the one who sees, like, but we also didn't see why he was the one who is the most, I'm not stepping on this fucking ship. As soon as I can get off the ship, I'm off the ship. Like, I'm staying on the other ship.
Right.
Like, he just knew immediately, because he's the one who also said to where he's like, you guys break the laws of physics and you don't think something like this could happen? Like, he was immediately like, something fucked up is going on here and I do not want to be here.
Right. Like, he had to know something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why didn't we find that out? We don't get him. We don't get Cooper. We don't get Stark.
Yeah, she's the one who's, like, the full-on most, I think, the one who's, like, the straight scientist. But, and she was the one who said, I think the ship is haunted. And Lawrence Fishburne is like, that's ridiculous. It's not an answer. She goes, well, it's the only one I've got. You know what I mean? Like, nothing else makes any sense. And some of the things that people are talking about seeing, we didn't see her hallucinate, did we?
No. Yeah. And we don't see, like, four of them. We only see Weir, Fishburne, and
Peters.
Yeah, that's
it. She sees her kid. What's it called? Yeah, Jason Isaacs, you would think that he's had some shit, too, because he goes a little crazy at one point holding that knife to Smitty's throat.
Right, but we have no idea what, because they didn't show us. Now, granted, you don't have to walk me through and show me every single thing, but the way you're setting this up, that would be a good thing to show us.
Well, the way it ends, so, I mean, at some point what happens is they decide they're going to blow up the corridor, and when Lawrence Fishburne is manually arming all the explosives, he gets cut off from Cooper and Stark. And, you know, as all captains, like, the way he said to her when he was saying goodbye, like, close this door behind me, like, you know, he's kind of half expecting to not make it. So he gets trapped in the engineering section dealing with the Hellraiser version of Sam Neill. Because he had kept seeing an aberration of a person he had left behind on a mission who burned to death, and that's what's been haunting him the whole time. And so he winds up blowing up the corridor so that they, you know, Stark and Cooper are going to live, and Justin too, he's in stasis as well. And he winds up going with the engineering section of the ship back to hell, so God knows what happened to Cooper after that, or Captain Miller, I'm sorry, after that. But when they are found by the rescue team, the first thing we see turns out to be one of those, like, gotcha, like, oh, it's just someone having a nightmare. But it's like the nightmare is that the rescue team turns out to be Sam Neill. You know what I mean? Still looking all hell-raisered out. And then she wakes up again, and Cooper's like, don't worry. It's like, Stark, I got you, I got you. And the real rescue team is, like, calling for a sedative, and the door just closes. So I'm like, ooh, okay. Is that supposed to imply that, like, they didn't really get away because this is still part of the ship, so this part is still kind of haunted, and even though they think they got away, they're not really safe? Or, you know, like, is it just really supposed to be the end? And, like, I feel like they could totally have done a sequel where she's now having nightmares and, like, seeing visions and no one, like, almost like Aliens, really, where, like, no one from NASA really believes their story and they want to go back out and try to figure it out. Or they've built a second gravity drive, you know, some shit like that. And I actually would buy that. Like, I feel like that would be a cool thing. And then we could learn her and Cooper's story. If Justin survives, he could talk about what he saw over there. I mean, before Miller and Weir disappear, we got all these flashes of torture happening, and some of it was happening to Justin and Peters and other people on his crew. And it was like, this is where you're going to be, a place where this is going on nonstop. It's kind of like, it's horrifying, but I think it definitely could be like, in the sequel, we could actually go there and find them. The only thing is that I feel like no matter what they actually wind up making it look like for a movie, our imagination of what the place must be like is going to be way scarier, so maybe it's better that they leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like it's been 20 years, so obviously they're not going to make a sequel, but...
Hey, you never know. They're, like, digging up. Aren't they doing a new Blade Runner? Come on.
Well, yeah, but that one has been deserving. You know what I mean? Like, that's a masterpiece. This is just like, hey, this is a cool, good movie.
It's a concept, yeah. But no, I understand what you're talking about. And I don't know if that was supposed to be just like end scene, you know, like door closing, end scene. You don't know what happens to her. Does she flip out? Does she?
Yeah, I mean, there is a title card that just says the end. So, you know, usually when that comes up, that's them saying, yep, this is it. It's over. No more. Like, I remember Back to the Future was always like to be continued.
Right.
You know, but I don't know.
I could totally see them trying to go back too, because every movie, I mean, look, Resident Evil. You know, they keep trying. Let's keep trying this.
And we'll just keep changing the word that means the same thing. Extinction, annihilation, revitalization, resurrection, re-extinction. Like, okay. Event horizon. Event horizon, distance. Event horizon, the return. Event horizon, the journey back. I don't know. I would be down if they wanted to go down that. I would take that ride. But like we said, underrated. I don't think a lot of people, maybe a lot of people didn't see it. And if the critics didn't like it, I don't know. But in the Halloween season here, if you're looking for something different, I would definitely suggest Event Horizon.
I would too.
And yeah, watch it at night with the lights off and then tell me it sucks, fuckers. Because I'll tell you what.
That's what I did last night. I got home from work at 11 o'clock at night. My husband left for work, so it's me and the dog who keeps staring out my back porch.
Saying liberate tutte me.
Right. And she keeps jumping and looking. I'm like, crap, what is out there? This is when I decide to watch these kind of things.
Do you see? Do you see?
Yeah, so creepy, suspenseful. Definitely think everybody should watch this.
Gory, you know, it's pretty much everything you want in a horror movie crossed with sci-fi. There on IMDb, it's funny because there are a couple movies that it does kind of make you think of in relation to it. Definitely one called Pandorum, if you haven't seen that one. Oh,
that was pretty weird.
2009's Pandorum, that's pretty badass. The movie Sunshine with Cillian Murphy, Cillian Murphy and Chris Evans, actually, and a whole bunch of other people. About the a spaceship trying to drop a nuke in the sun to restart it. it's a Danny Boyle movie, though, so it's, you know, the guy did 28 Days Later and stuff, and that takes place in 2057. Basically, all these movies about giant spaceships. You know, also Sphere. These are all, like, the people who like this will also like on IMDb, and I'm like, yeah, man, you guys actually kind of got this shit right. Sphere, 98 from the next year with Sharon Stone and Dustin Hoffman and Samuel Jackson, and then Pitch Black, The Abyss, and I don't know about Contact, but these all kind of like have the same sort of scope feeling to them, dealing with the same kind of level of unknown in the galaxy. So, you know, not all of them are about a haunted ship that is killing you Freddy Krueger style, but they are kind of in the same family. I do like Pandorum. I like that one a lot.
But you can watch Ghost Ship and get the same kind of feel, but on the seas.
Where ships were meant to be.
With Carl Urban.
All right. Is there anything you want to plug before we say goodbye for this edition of What Am I Watching?
Oh, just find us over, or find me over at Fangirl Zone. You can talk to me about, I can't talk. Good God. You can talk to me about how I really can't talk. I'm doing a bunch on sci-fi talk about all the new shows on sci-fi. So there's some really creepy stuff we're talking about over there. Like Channel Zero. I'm trying to get Dave to come on.
Oh, I gotta watch that. I finally saw a promo for it, and I'm like, oh, this is what she's fucking talking about? God!
It's from Creepypasta, so it works really well for Slenderman. Our Halloween stuff. It's a weird one this time, so it's going to be constantly changing on that. But yeah, come over, talk to us, email us, you know. We're going to drag Dave over to talk about creepy stuff over there, too.
Hells yeah. All right. Yeah, we got tons of stuff going on here at Hollow Nine now with the Westworld podcast and getting ready for Twin Peaks. We're taking a look at Atlanta. We're obviously Throne Games is kind of a when we get around to it and when we host one. That's like an ongoing sporting event that you never know. It's like a secret trip treat for our fans. And we've got a whole bunch of things on the, you know, back burner and in the works. So just keep your eye on the Hollow Nine Network. Feel free to donate to us. We've got our PayPal out there. You can find it easily on our Facebook page and on our Podomatic page. And, you know, join the conversation. We've got all kinds of ways for you to get in touch with us. You know, rate and review us on iTunes and help other people find out about the Hollow Nine and things that are going on here. And if you've got cool stories or know cool people who have cool stories, tell them to get in touch with us, because we are always looking for people to interview for our Spotlight podcast. Other than that, it has been super fun going on a trip to hell with the crew of the Event Horizon and my co-host, Sean Fangirl S. And I've been Dave the Clone this whole time. Do you see? Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the next one when we all ask, what am I watching? You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media.
Follow us on Twitter at Hollow9Cast. That's Hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, cast. Email us at Hollow9Podcast@gmail.com. Or find us at our home site, Hollow9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, FangirlZone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. Join in the fun. Hollow9!